Good afternoon, family. I bring greetings from the family in Iwakuni, Rock Point Church. We had an awesome time this morning. It's great to be with you here in this wonderful church. It's right on the hill. You're the lighthouse on the hill of Hiroshima, huh? Hallelujah. Just a little background about us. I was born in Texas. You can tell by my accent. And my wife was born in Oregon. She's got an accent, but it's different. I went to Laterno College in Longview, Texas, which was a flight school. Learned how to fly and fix airplanes. As a little boy, my dad watched me. I was always looking up at the sky. And he took me to the airport when he said, for my 15th birthday, I'm going to pay for 3 lessons, and after that, you have to pay for it. So I learned to fly an airplane before I could drive a car. So I went to Laterno to finish up that kind of study on how to fix an airplane and so on. And my junior year in college, you know, I'm all set for my career, I thought. And every time I open my Bible, the word preach jumps out at me. I keep ignoring it. For the whole year, the word preach would grab a hold of me. And I said, nope, I'm not a preacher. I was very shy and kept to myself. And I just enjoyed flying airplanes and, you know, that kind of thing. But but the end of that year, vacation, summer vacation was coming up, and I thought, oh, good, it'd be great to get away from the call of God. And I went home to Hot Springs, Arkansas, where my family lived. And the first Sunday I'm home, I usually was singing in the choir at a Southern Baptist church. And as I was up in the choir that morning, they had a guest speaker, and he spoke on how God called him to preach. Again, I felt that. I said, no. I went home. I couldn't eat lunch. I said, Mom, can I borrow the car? I need to get out. And so I drove up in the hills overlooking the city of Hot Springs, Arkansas. Finally, I got out of the car, started walking through the woods. Had my Bible with me, and I said, I finally got up the courage to talk to God. I said, now, God, if you want me to be a preacher, I want you to show me right now in your word. I opened my Bible where Moses was saying, Lord, I'm not going to lead these people. I can't speak. And the Lord said, who made your mouth? Go and I'll give you the words and teach you what to say. I said, Lord, wow, that is very clear. Now, I am willing. As soon as I said I'm willing, I felt like I was going to fly off the mountain. I was so at peace. I realized I'd been fighting God a whole year. And I didn't know how that was going to be developed, that call to preach. But that's how I got started. And we went to seminary, since I was in the Baptist church at that time. Went to a seminary in Portland, Oregon. I couldn't find my wife in Texas, anyway. one year at the seminary, we invited the girls who were in another Bible school that were in the grad program to come over and have a Christmas party with us guys. And they were playing a game when I walked in the room, you know, with a name on the person's back, and you... they match you up with someone, and you have to help them guess who they are, whose name. I think you were Hitler's girlfriend or something like that. Yeah. Anyway. But during that party, you know, I had come to a seminary that didn't believe in speaking in tongues and that kind of thing. I had to even sign a statement saying I wouldn't talk about it on campus because I knew I'd already experienced the Holy Spirit. And so here I am at this very conservative Bible school, seminary party, and I run into the only spirit-filled girl, and we just connected that night, and I knew she's the lady for me. And God put us together. And she'd visit my Baptist church. I'd visit her Four Square church, which is Pentecostal, if you know that. And finally, the pastor of the church asked me to be on staff there, and a large church, about 1,000 people. And one day, though, on a Wednesday night, a guest speaker was talking about the need for prayer, for the men of the church to accept responsibility to pray for their city. He said, for 30 days, I challenge you men to come down to the church for 2 hours of prayer every day from 5 to 7. And so the head pastor asked me to be there to open the door if anybody showed up. But about 30 men showed up, and but we were struggling. 2 hours of prayer, man, I didn't learn that in seminary, how to do that. And so, but we're committed, 30 days, you know, praying the Lord's Prayer and so on, praying in the Spirit. But we were really, really struggling. And about 2 weeks into that, the men began to realize, we're trying to pray for revival of Portland, but we don't have it ourselves. And the men begin to weep. I never seen men weep before. God came. That room was filled with the presence of God continually, morning after morning, and jumping out of our beds to see what the Holy Spirit's going to do next. We were in the school of the Holy Spirit. We learned how to pray. We learned how to worship, to be men called to our city. And that just really changed us. The 30 days went into 3 years. Revival broke out. Many come to Christ. People were healed. I enjoyed visiting people in the hospital because they get healed so fast. Because God was just moving. When the Holy Spirit falls upon you and equips you, anything's possible. And so during that 3 years, another pastor on staff, he said to me, Bill, you should pray about your future. I said, okay. I started to pray, and God said one word, Tokyo. One word. We've lived on one word for 35 years. You get a word from God, you can live on it, and it helps you win in your calling in life. And so we okay, well then 2 weeks later, here comes from Japan, who had a guest speaker at our church, Masui Sensei. He is head of all the Four Square work in Japan. So one confirmation after another, and pretty soon we were there first with Four Square and Ohaka. They had moved their headquarters from Tokyo to Hokkaido, Hakodate. So we started up there. Great place to, we enjoyed Hokkaido. And then, but God had said Tokyo in 2000, with assemblies, Four Square is supported differently than assemblies. And we were just put on salary and sent out with Four Square. But with the assemblies, each missionary raises their own support, as you know. And we went through that system and got, came to Tokyo with assemblies in 1993. We were in Hokkaido from 87, and now we're in Tokyo. And the city that God had said. So we pioneered a Japanese church for 11 years in West Tokyo with Koji Hayashi. Some of you may know Koji Hayashi. We got that church going, and then the Lord touched my heart about, he told me, I was visiting a pastor in downtown Tokyo at the International Christian Assembly, and the Holy Spirit said, you're going to pastor this church. I didn't tell anybody. I didn't tell my wife. I should have told my wife. I don't do that anymore. I always tell my wife what God is saying to me. It's good for the marriage. Because she was enjoying our Japanese church. When I said, we're going to be pastors at this church downtown Tokyo, she wasn't on board at first. Anyway, she got on board, and we pastored there for 18 years. And I want to start with that. As pastor of that church, during when COVID came, I found my heart in a panic. I said, what is this? Lord, why am I in fear of this? And all of it, and he led me to repentance. I saw it in my focus on fear rather than faith in him. When I repented, and he gave me these words. He said, it's over. In me, COVID is over. From then on, I lived in peace. I lived in, you know, I can get a vaccine, I can do all that, but I'm not fear of COVID and whatsoever. We are at peace in the Lord. And see, God wants his church not to live in fear, but live in faith. Make sure your focus is on him, not on the fear of man, what they're saying. Because you can live with what's happening in your situation, but you need to live in peace. Know the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. How to guard your heart. The enemy will be crushed under your feet because you're living in peace with him. During this time, let me back up. Just before the lockdown, I had established a relationship with our Japanese neighbors where we lived, on the outskirts of Tokyo, about 1 hour from where we pastored, in Sayamashi. And one day I was out mowing the grass, and the Holy Spirit said to me, you cut down those 6 tall pine trees that are up against your neighbor's yard, they'll get saved. So I said, okay. So I went to the store and bought me an electric chainsaw. Tied a rope to each tree, had my wife pulling the tree towards our house as I notched the tree. And by this time, the street is full of the neighbors wondering what this guy Gene doing with this cutting down these trees. Should have a professional do that. I probably should have. Because on the last tree, you know, all of them fell straight towards her, didn't hit her. But I'm on the last tree and I'm notching. I said, oh, this thing's falling towards my car that I forgot to move. And this, I heard this cry in the street as the tree came down and a whomp. And I thought, oh no. I run around and the branch is just barely touching the windshield, but the fence got a nice U-shape in it. But the good thing, the neighbor runs out of her house, a Japanese neighbor. She says, my house is full of light. From then on, we had favor with them. Her husband would drive me around all over places and show me the sights, and he started talking to me about God and that kind of thing, but no decision. And then when just before COVID hit, he had retired and he had got sick. He was in the hospital on IVs, could not eat or drink, and they put him in the house with on IVs on a hospital bed, and the nurses and doctors would come there. Since I had favor, I could go in and talk to him during COVID. And one night I said, would you like to receive Christ now as your Savior? He said, yes. We prayed. And the next day his wife said, he started drinking green tea and eating yogurt. And then 2 weeks later, though, I looked outside my window. I saw there's a lot of people out there going in that house. I went over there, and his wife said, you know, it was so strange this morning. I had turned to fix the green tea, turned back to him, and he's gone. He went so peaceful. He's in heaven. He missed hell by just 2 weeks, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, in the midst of COVID, you can have revival. Hallelujah. And your neighbor's getting saved. And then another humbling thing that happened during COVID was, well, the scripture was made very real to me. 2 Chronicles 4:17. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, we've been pastoring Tokyo of these 18 years. And during this time, the Holy Spirit said, surrender this church to me. And I did. I didn't want to. I didn't realize how attached I was. There's a great family there in downtown Tokyo. Very international. We're having lots of good things happening. And so I surrendered it to him. And then our leadership asked us to come to Iwakuni and to take over the church at Rock Point. So we came down here. But it was quite a transition, you know. I never lived in one house that long in my life. That mission house we lived in the Tokyo area, 25 years. And so we moved out, all this stuff, you know, to make a transition down to here, get rid of a whole bunch of stuff. But God had a plan. It was a hard time going through that. But God brought us through. And we're glad we're here at Iwakuni. And because one thing the Lord showed me years ago during the revival back in Portland, Oregon, it was on a Sunday night, and the pastor was leading. He said, when we worship tonight, pray for the nations of the world. I began to pray, and of course I was praying for Japan, but all of a sudden I saw Japan. I saw from the north, south, east, and the west revival breaking out. All over the land, and I knew Japan's going to be saved. There's a move of God coming on this land that's going to break through all the idolatry and restrictions here in this land that people will just respond in a quick way. I see Japan coming to the Lord very fast. So I'm kind of a fire starter. I encourage the fire of the Lord everywhere I go because he wants this whole city, Hiroshima, saved. The blood of Jesus has paid the price for this city already. They don't know it, the good news. And so that breaks the power of the enemy. When you rest in the power of the blood, what he's done, you got good news. And you can break the hold of the idolatry that grips the land. And so that's why we pray. We pray for our city every week in Rock Point Church, you know, praying for God's move in the families, in the leadership of the city, praying for all those in authority. It's so important. Another thing that the Lord's saying to me at this time, he says, I'm setting Japan on fire for me. It's time for this land to no longer be known as an unreached people group. I'm pouring out my spirit on every man, woman, boy, and girl. And I'm raising up my church to be who I've called them to be, a lighthouse of my glory. Hallelujah. A lighthouse of his glory. Thank you, Lord. You know, I've been sharing these things, and I keep talking about the Lord says this, the Lord says that. Maybe some of you struggle with trying to hear from God. I want to share a couple of very practical things that I've learned about it. How to hear from God. And the most important verse I can give you in learning is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When we gave ourselves to Christ, it's no longer all about us. It's about him. It's all about him. And that surrender to who you really are, you're setting yourself up to hear from God all the time. Surrender is so important. Instead of you trying to fit everything in a box, that's man's way. God's people are led by the Spirit of God. And he knows how to get our attention and help us if we want it. Another scripture that really has helped me is Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 2. Because we need to learn to be able to talk and to listen to God just as we talk and listen to each other. How does this happen? In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, see, Habakkuk was talking about his prayer place. He said, I will stand myself on the rampart or watchtower. It's there in the vineyard where you can oversee all the vineyard, what's happening. And he would go up there. He said, I will watch to see what God will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then verse 2. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. So key number one, God's voice in your heart is like a flow of spontaneous thoughts. We see that Habakkuk in verse 2, he knew the sound of God speaking to him. Well, what was that like? Elijah described it as a still small voice. Too often people miss out on hearing God because they are waiting for an inner audible voice. Sometimes that happens. God does speak that way at times, but it's not the norm. Usually I found that God's voice comes as spontaneous thoughts, visions, feelings, and impressions. For example, have you ever had a thought to pray for somebody? Where'd you get that thought? That was a thought from God, wasn't it? You just heard from God. In Acts 15, verse 28, we see a good support for this. We see the thoughts of the Holy Spirit have become the thoughts of the disciples. Listen to this. Verse 28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. The leadership had been seeking the Lord. They were in one accord. And the thing they are doing and saying are a result of paying attention to their thoughts, which have come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always brings unity together. The second key out of this passage is become still so you can sense God's flow of thoughts and emotions within. Become still. We're busy people. It's hard to become still. But you can quiet yourself any moment throughout the day if you want to. You just get still and begin to turn to Him who's that place where you believe, deep within you. Where's that place in you where you know Jesus is the Lord of your life? Deep within, you just know it. See? That's where you turn. That's the still small voice is speaking there. That's where the river, Jesus said, out of your heart, the innermost being flows the rivers of living water. What is that living water? It's the words of God, the words of life, speaking to you for your given situation. Pay attention to those thoughts. As you take your Bible, you open it up. Have you ever started reading and all of a sudden things start being highlighted? That's the Holy Spirit. Pause in that. Pay attention. Begin to listen. Listen, abide in Him. His words are abiding in you. And you will see your prayers being answered because you're coming in agreement with Him. He's building your faith. Hallelujah. And Habakkuk says, I will stand on my guard post. He got still, see? He knew that to hear God's quiet, spontaneous thoughts, he had to first go to a quiet place and still his own thoughts and emotions. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know He's God. Now, you can do that on a long airline trip, you know. You may be bored with playing your games. Just open your Bible and just get quiet. And you'll start entering in to the Gospels and find yourself experiencing what the disciples are experiencing. And you just travel with Him in that whole flight, and you won't even have jet lag when you get over there. We're so refreshed. It's important that you can buy it any place. You don't have to wait till you get to church. You can get still in a busy subway when you're crammed wall to wall with people in downtown Tokyo. You ever experienced that? I'm sure you have. And we live there. And, you know, I used to get frustrated, but then I began to realize, I began to release God's presence in that place, just blessing everyone around me. I had a praise time in my heart. You know, I was so refreshed, even in the cram subway and during rush hour. Hallelujah. You can enjoy the Lord any place. Yeah, it's easy to do it out by the lake and the, you know, in the ocean. But you can do it any place. Get still and know He's God. And Jesus, as I said already, he cried out, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." That's where we find this God speaking to us, out of that river. It's endless. It comes from the throne of God. You're connected to the throne of God. You understand that? You're connected to the throne of God. And his flow is in you all the time. Just enjoy it more and more. And you'll be refreshed and strengthened. Get creative ideas for your job, whatever you need. God will help you. And he'll help you have these breakthroughs that you need in your situations. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Fix your gaze upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Being quiet in his presence and sharing with him what is on your heart is where the flow comes from the throne of God to you." You're conversing with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Personally, we have front row seat every time we talk to God. We're not in the back of a church building. We're front row seats with him all the time because the blood of Jesus. You go into, Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and close the door. When you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And you know where the secret place is through Jesus. You shut the door and he's there. He is there all the time. Hallelujah. You're in the throne room. You're in the throne room. One day I had a surprise impression, a vision. I was getting quiet for the Lord, and all of a sudden I said, "Oh, that's the throne of God." I saw the rainbow and the throne, and you know, it was an awesome moment. But that's literally what we experienced, even if we don't see that. The throne of God, that's where we're at. You know, the love of God is there. He's always loving us. He never gives up on loving us. We're so loved. He's for us. He's for us. He's not against us. He's for you, for you, for you. And every what he has for you to do and be, he's for us. Hallelujah. And then key number three. As you pray, fix the eyes of your heart upon Jesus, seeing in the Spirit the dreams and visions of Almighty God. See, Habakkuk said, "I will keep watch to see, keep watch to see." And God said, "Record the vision." See, Habakkuk was actually looking for vision as he prayed. God has always spoken through dreams and visions, and he said to those upon whom the Holy Spirit is poured out in Acts 2, 1-4, and all he's poured his spirit upon all flesh. And he's given us, you know, it says to pray that our eyes of our understanding be enlightened. See, that's what, he's enlightening us. He's helping us. And while we were, another thing that happened while we were pastoring ICA, which was so key to what God's doing in my life. One morning, a mother in the church, she was on our worship team, she came to me, she said, "Pastor, my family and I, we pray for you every week at home. But we have a worship time. But she said, this time my junior high daughter had a vision of you. She saw the Holy Spirit coming upon me and some other things." And later on, she wrote it all out to me. But that morning, when the worship team got up to go on the first note, I tried to sing. But all I could do was weep because he was there. He was there. It's like Jacob's ladder. Jesus at the top of the ladder. The angels ascending and descending. And I try to sing. I just weep because he's there. I try to sing. I could not. I was just a meltdown case in the Lord's presence. And when I finally got up to the platform, all I could say was, all we need is him. All we need is him. All we need is him. That's your answer. All we need is him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and hear from him. Let's grow in that. This last point is so important that most people don't like to do it, especially men. What was it? What did it say in Habakkuk 2, verse 2? Record the vision. Men don't like to journal. Ladies do. That's why they hear from God more. Because I started in college because I couldn't express myself very well. So I started journaling when I read the Bible. But when you journal, you know, something has impressed you, stay with that thought from the Word and start writing it down. And it will turn into a big word from God. Stay with it. Start writing. Get in the habit of writing it down, and you will grow in hearing from God. Men, right? It's hard to pick up the pencil, I know. I'll just do it in my head. Yes, you can. But you write it down, you go further. It has helped me more than anything else, okay? You know, at first you may get doubt, faith. Is this from God? Is this from God? Don't worry about that. You just pay attention what you think you're hearing from God, okay? And then ask your wife to judge it, okay? You'll find out if it's from God or not. That's good. Yeah. But then you grow in it. You learn. You learn how to be still and grow in hearing from God. So our review is, number one, quiet yourself. Number two, vision. Fix your eyes on Jesus. See yourself in the Gospels, for example. Number three, spontaneity. Tune into the flow of thoughts from your heart. There's a flow. The river's flowing. Pay attention to it. It's always flowing. And four, journal. Write down in faith. And have two or three people check it out if you want. You know? You grow together. Disciple each other. It's a good way to do it. Hallelujah. So let's pray about that for a moment. Father, we thank you that your heart is for us. That you care for every thought we're having right now. And we surrender our hearts to you, Lord. You are the beginning and end of everything. We surrender to your working in our hearts tonight. We surrender all we have to you, Lord. We humble ourselves and seek your face and turn from things that are distracting us from you, Lord. And look full into your wonderful face. And the things of earth are growing strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Lord, I pray for much grace added unto your people here today, Lord, and all that you call them to do in their city of Hiroshima. Bless them, Lord, in their work, in their family life, in all the things that are happening here at the church, Lord. We pray for your continued outpouring of your Spirit here, that you would multiply all that you're doing here, Lord, in a mighty way. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us increase tonight in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, you want this?
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Good word of encouragement. We pray that God will bring those words deep into our heart and encourage us throughout the week and throughout the rest of our walk with Him. Appreciate you coming to be with us today.